wailed on a harmonica, playing for tips, but no one was tipping. Letty dropped a 20 into the Panama Jack hat lying upturned on the sidewalk beside him. He looked up.
Bless you, bless you.
Huge milky cataracts covered his eyes, but he stared right at her, his smile both penetrating and disarming. Letty moved on.
You don't have to give up, he called after her. I hope you know that.
She quickened her pace. The giant marquee on the Mirage blazed down like a midnight sun. The volcano in front of the casino erupted. A crowd snapped photos with their phones. Letty cruised through the tropical landscaping into the hotel. An adult fantasy world. The atrium filled with vegetation. A massive aquarium behind the front desk. It took her 5 minutes to find the bar, another 10 once she was seated before the rail of a man with long curly hair finally came over. She said to him, Are you Jay?
Yeah, why?
I'd like a floating orchid and some advice.
Who sent you?
Darren from the Zebra Bar. She watched him make something out of vodka, Cointreau, and the juice of a pear and a lemon. He set it in front of her, and she gave him a $50 bill, said, Keep it. Jay looked like Joey Ramone circa the Carter administration. He put his elbows on the bar, leaned toward her, said,
What are you looking for?
Crystal. He gave her a corner in North Las Vegas, a first name, and a description of the dealer. She never touched her drink. As she was heading down the sidewalk on the lookout for a cab, the trigger sweats kicked in, like beads of anticipation rolling down the insides of her legs. That wasted woman Letty pictured as her need, now screaming in her ear, wild-eyed, ebullient for the coming fix. Challenge the thought. I have. The thought kicked my ass. Somewhere between the Mirage and Caesar's Palace, the sound of youthful voices pulled her attention away from the taxi search. Up ahead, a group of Mexican kids were singing their hearts out in Spanish. Letty didn't know the words, but she recognized the tune. Sublima gracia. Amazing grace. It stopped her in her tracks. Something about the contrast, these little voices surrounded by all this decadence. Before she knew it, she was lost in the spectacle. They finished the song and moved on. Behind them stood a small church, utterly out of place on the strip. There were lights on inside, and she could hear a man's voice pushing over the din of boulevard traffic. She climbed the stone steps toward the double doors, Shrine of the Most Holy Redeemer. Some mysterious gravity drawing her out of the commotion of late-night Vegas. She slunk in, took a seat in the back pew. The sanctuary was brightly lit. It smelled of coffee. There was a simple crucifix behind the altar, a statue of the Madonna, a statue of Christ holding a child. At the podium, the harmonica man spoke to the group of 20 or 30 people.
I'm here to tell you that sobriety ain't easy, but it is simple. If someone told a cancer patient all you had to do was follow these simple steps, go to meetings, help others, that you'd get well, you'd do whatever you needed to do to save your lily white behinds. I lost my wife Irene last winter. My boy Laszlo, he dying of hepatitis in prison. These are not easy things.
The man cut loose a big, beaming smile.
But I suit up and show up. See, I have true freedom. Freedom of self. Freedom of self-will. It starts with asking for help. Then you realize you aren't terminally unique. You're one of us, and you never have to be alone again.
Maybe she'd been primed by Sublima Gracia, by the sheer serendipity of finding this church on the strip of all places, in a moment of weakness, but Letty felt something like a tiny crack opening in the hardened core of her being. Before she could second-guess or talk herself out of it, she woke her iPhone and deleted the details of her tweak hookup. The harmonica player said,
Anybody else got something to say? Something to share? You ain't gotta be eloquent. Ain't gotta talk for long. You just gotta be real.
Letty got up, her heart beating out of her chest. She walked down the aisle toward harmonica man. Then he was sitting and she was standing. It had happened so fast. What are you doing? She put her hands on the podium, the fluorescent lights humming above her, the muted noise of traffic bleeding through the walls. She looked out at all the faces, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, cholo, card dealers just off shift, cocktail waitresses, doormen, drivers, tourists, addiction, the great equalizer. "I'm Letitia," she said. The room responded, "Hello, Letitia." "I'm an addict," she said. "Alcoholic, junkie. I was on my way to score when I passed this church. Something pulled me in, I don't know what. I've hurt a lot of people in my life." She felt a storm of grief gathering, but she fought her way through it. "My ex-husband, myself, my son. I didn't want to come to a meeting. I don't know what I thought, if it was pride or fear, but I'm looking out at all of you and I understand I'm not bigger than Crystal and Booze. They own my soul forever. But I think maybe we all are bigger. Maybe I see that now. I hope I do. I think I can gain strength from you. I hope one day that you can gain strength from me. That's all I have to say." Outside on the stone steps, she sat down and wept like she hadn't in years, not since a court had terminated her parental rights. After a long time, she struggled onto her feet. She wasn't even thinking about finding a cab to take her to North Las Vegas. Across the boulevard, her hotel loomed. She started walking. 10. Next morning, Letty cabbed out to an IHOP in the Xeriscaped Burbs, several miles west of the glitz of the Strip. The emotion of the previous night still clung. She felt different, better, new. Suit up and show up. Isaiah was waiting for her, coffee and a newspaper. He set the paper aside as she slid into the booth. The waitress brought coffee. When she was gone, he said,
"There's no way you're this badass Hav told me about."
"I'm sorry."
"You're sorry? For what? Costing me a shit ton of money? Don't worry about it. Ain't nothing. It's all good."
"The club was a bad approach," she said. "You guys were getting mobbed by women. Richter was done with that scene before I ever showed up."
"So what? You let his mood affect your performance? You're amateur, you know that?"
"I had a bad night. It had been a long time since..."
"Oh, so you out of practice? That's the excuse?"
"You ever have a bad night, Ice?"
"No, that's not an option for professionals."
"I can still do this."
"You out of your mind? Think I'm gonna let you take another crack at fucking this up? Last night was it, right? Anytime today Richter gets the call, I could get a text from him right now. Then it's showtime. We done. Game over."
Letty leaned back in the booth, held her hand to the coffee mug until her skin burned. "What's he doing today?" she asked. "Richter?"
"Just chillin', waiting for that magic call."
"And where exactly is he just chillin'?"
"Pool at the Wynn."
The waitress returned. "You folks ready to order?" Letty was already scooting out. Isaiah said,
"Where you going?"
She smiled. "To buy a bikini." The Wynn pool was wall-to-wall, even at 10:30 a.m., the crowd combating hangovers with mimosas, Bloody Marys, champagne cocktails. She circled twice before spotting him, tucked away in a row of private cabanas. Anonymous beyond the bikinis, board shorts, and occasional banana hammock. Richter was oiled and soaking up the sun, a thin gold chain glittering in his chest hair, eyes hidden behind sunglasses. Two other men she recognized from the nightclub sunbathed beside him. She walked to the bar at the far end and ordered three champagne cocktails. The bartender didn't want to lend her a tray. A 20-spot sealed the deal. It was a hike back to Richter's cabana. Letty could feel the scorching heat of the white pavement coming through the soles of her bejeweled Escada flip-flops. The bikini wasn't really her style, a skirt-bottomed black and white striped two-piece, nor was it an exact match for the pool's cocktail waitress swimwear, but it was close. She moved away from the main pool, up the walkway leading to the private cabanas, on full alert now. In all likelihood, there was a personal waiter assigned to each cabana. She approached a man in white board shorts and an open shirt. One of the waiters? She smiled, but he passed without acknowledgement. Richter's cabana stood at the end. Reggae music sweetened the air. She veered toward it and slowed her pace, squinting through her Jimmy Choo shades to absorb every detail. Three men, chairs side by side in the sun. Too scaldingly bright to see into the cabana, but she couldn't imagine Richter's phone would be inside. He was waiting on a critical call. The phone would be close, within reach. She stopped at the foot of the trio of beach chairs and smiled down at Richter and his men. Richter was in the middle. The one on the left was a hairy beast of a man with the fat over muscle build of someone who'd earned their conditioning from life experience, not a gym bike. Someone who possessed the brute core strength to physically break you. The man on the right was younger and leaner, but still carried plenty of brawn. It squared with Isaiah's story. These weren't techie savants hired to pull a sophisticated vault break. Richter was lining up big, scary men to storm a hotel room and take down an army of casino thugs by force. They all wore sunglasses, and she couldn't tell if they had noticed her yet. Letty cleared her throat. Richter tugged out his earbuds. He's listening to music, which means his phone is in his pocket, headphones plugged in. Extra challenge points. He said, "We didn't order those. Gentlemen, these are compliments of the win." Letty took a step forward, letting the front of her left flip-flop snag on a lip in the pavement. She went down hard. The tray dumped onto Richter's chair. Two of the champagne flutes shattered against the concrete. The third splashed across Richter's lap. He jumped up and swore. Letty struggled to sit up. She'd nailed it, bloody knee and everything. She clutched it and made a whimpering sound. Oh my God, I am so sorry. She glanced up at Richter. He was staring down at her. Where she'd expected rage, she found concern.
You all right?
He asked.
I hurt my knee.
Yeah, that looks nasty.
His phone, he was holding it now. She reached up to him with both hands. Put it down, put it down. He hesitated for a split second and then dropped his phone on the chair cushion.
Let's get you up out of this glass.
They're gonna fire me,
Letty said as he pulled her onto her feet.
Nobody's getting fired.
Blood ran down her leg, and she could feel a shard of glass embedded in her skin. She staggered back and collapsed onto the end of Richter's chair. His phone lay right beside her, specked with beads of champagne cocktail.
Does it feel like you cracked anything?
Richter asked. All three men knelt in front of her, studying her knee.
I don't think so,
she said as she slipped the dummy iPhone out of her bikini bottoms.
I'm just worried if my boss sees this, she'll fire me. I'm already on probation.
Dropped it beside Richter's phone, tugged the earbuds out of his phone's jack.
She's a total bitch.
Plugged them into the dummy. Richter said,
Bill, would you get her a towel, please?
She palmed his phone, slid it back into her briefs. As the large, hairy man hustled into the cabana, Letty stood up.
What's your name?
Richter asked.
Selena.
You're not going to get into any trouble over this, okay? I'm not going to let that happen, Selena.
I just feel bad I ruined your day.
You didn't ruin anybody's day. Simple accident.
Bill returned with a towel. Letty wiped the blood off her leg and wrapped it around her waist.
I better go get washed up, she said. I'll send someone to clean this mess. Again, I'm real sorry.
Forget it.
And then she was walking away from the cabana, the piece of glass tingling in her knee, a sharp, bright sting, but she didn't care. Richter's phone jostled against her ass, and this moment was the closest thing to being high that she'd felt in months. 11. Letty saw him standing under an overhang of trees in the lobby of the Wynn. He barely looked old enough to be in college. Black Chuck Taylors, baggy jean shorts, a gray billabong hoodie. She pulled Richter's phone out of her bikini and walked up to him. He smelled like pot, his eyes red with a stoner sheen.
Mark? Letty?
She handed him Richter's phone, said, I'm in 812. How long?
1 hour.
I need you to bust a move. This thing is only halfway done. Riding up in the elevator, she called Isaiah. I got it, she said. You heading over?
On my way.
Let me know how it goes. I'll be back down as soon as Mark drops off the phone.
It went well?
Yeah, but I'm concerned their waiter will interfere, freak everyone out when he hears what happened.
I'll damage control.
See you soon.
The room was smaller but nicer than the one at the palazzo. She turned on the news and went into the bathroom, dug out the piece of glass, and cleaned up her knee. She sat on the end of the bed and stared at the plasma screen, but her mind was elsewhere. 30 minutes in, she got a text from Isaiah. Trouble. She texted back, ? Real waiter showed, run interference, tryin. 55 minutes after the handoff, there was a knock on her door. Through the peephole, Mark standing in the hallway, beaming and proud. She let him in. It worked? She asked.
Like a mofo.
Letty moved toward the cabanas. Isaiah stood with Richter's crew and a 20-something man in white shorts and an open shirt. The real waiter. Her phone vibrated. Isaiah, do not approach. She turned away just as Richter emerged from the cabana, ducked behind a potted cypress, and watched him storm past with his goons in tow. She fell in after Isaiah, trailing him by 5 feet, typing out a text as she walked. Behind you. Up ahead, she could see Richter holding the dummy iPhone. He had ripped off the bumper case and was fumbling with it. Bill said,
you can't just take the battery out of an iPhone, you have to go to an Apple store.
The other guy said,
or just YouTube it, I'm sure it can be done.
Isaiah pulled out his phone. He didn't look back, just started texting.
He's freaking. This is getting ready to explode.
She tapped out, where's he going? He responded, his room. A congestion of sunbathers had slowed the procession. Letty blasted ahead, past Isaiah, elbowing her way through the masses. She hit the hotel entrance 15 seconds before Richter and his group, rushed ahead into the expansive, chiming casino. He'd have to pass through on his way to the tower elevators. She glanced back, saw Richter and his men entering, pushed on, faster, down a red-carpeted corridor between miles of slot machines. The way the overhead lighting struck the marble made it look like gold. This was it. Make the switch now or forget it. From Richter's perspective, his phone was malfunctioning. He was waiting on a call or a text worth millions. If he hadn't already, he'd call his contact, give him a new way to reach him. And that would be that. Letty stopped at the perimeter of a field of table games. Craps, blackjack, pie-gow, big six. It reeked of cigarette smoke, the air hazy with it, especially under the constellation of hanging globe lamps that ranged as far as she could see. A herd of cocktail waitresses on the prowl. Richter was coming. She could feel her phone vibrating, Isaiah no doubt wondering what the hell she was doing. One chance. She'd made 1,000 grabs in her lifetime, but nothing like this. Nothing approaching stakes on this order of magnitude. 30 feet away now. The group moving quickly, Richter out in front, flanked by the original thugs from the cabana, Isaiah bringing up the rear. Her phone vibrated again. Isaiah's new text, forget about it. She reached into her purse and traded her phone for Richter's. Her heart began to thump, lines of sweat running over the strings of her bikini top. Richter wasn't holding his phone. He'd put on a t-shirt and sandals, and she could see the outline of the dummy phone swinging in the left pocket of his trunks. The pocket looked deep as hell, jaws, like it could swallow her arm up to the elbow. Game on. She thought about her father. The tears flowed. She peeled away from the tables, felt the heat from a galaxy of cameras staring down at her. Casino certainly wasn't the ideal setting for this, but oh well. She started toward them, pictured it happening. Perfect execution. 20 feet away. Richter's sunglasses were tilted up across the bald dome of his head, and he looked angry. Her phone vibrated in her purse. She ignored it. 10 feet. She switched Richter's phone into her right hand, clutched it between her first and second finger, powered it on. Stared at the red carpeting, tears running fast down her cheeks now, beginning to tap into that well of emotion that underlay her soul like an aquifer. She looked up as she bumped into Richter. He stopped, studied her through hard, hazel eyes. They stood inches apart. As she dipped her right hand into his left pocket, she said,
I hope you're happy.
Fighting to keep her fingers from touching his leg.
What are you talking about?
You lied to me.
There, the dummy iPhone. All at the same instant, she jabbed a finger into his chest, lifted the dummy iPhone with her thumb and pinky, let Richter's iPhone slide gently out of her grasp, said,
You told me I wouldn't.
Even the best pickpockets in the world rushed the ending. Once your fingers touched the goods, the impulse to grab it and get to safety became overpowering. She took it nice and slow, because she had this.
Get into any trouble! They fired me!
The phone was clear of his pocket. She jabbed a finger into his chest again, said,
I have a young daughter, rent to pay,
slipped it into her purse.
What am I supposed to do, huh?
Now she crossed her arms and glared at him and let the tears stream down her face. A thought flashed. What if he doesn't try his phone again? Richter said,
I don't have time for this,
and started to move on. She blocked his way.
You're mad because I spilled champagne on you? Sorry, it was an accident.
The rage came over him almost without warning.
Your little accident ruined my phone.
It didn't touch your phone.
Pull it out. Show me I'm wrong. Do it, you cocksucker. Do it. He thrust his hand into his pocket, dug out his iPhone. She grabbed it from him, pressed the sleep-wake button, held it up so he could see. His eyes went wide when the screen brightened.
Looks fine to me.
30 seconds ago, it wasn't.
She shoved it into his chest, said, asshole, and pushed her way between the thugs. She stared at Isaiah as she moved past, said,
what are you looking at?
And winked. 12. 10 minutes later, Letty let Isaiah into her room at the Wynn.
I take back everything I said about you, he said. That grab and switch was off the chain. You got ninja skills.
Richter's okay now. I was worried he'd get another phone or...
Nah, he's cool. We all cool.
Isaiah moved past her.
What up, Mark?
They bumped fists.
We're in biz, Mark said. Come check it.
Letty followed them over to the bed, where Mark had a laptop open. He lifted a white iPhone off the comforter, tossed it to Isaiah.
That's a perfect clone of Richter's phone. Has all his voicemails, text history, contacts, data usage, apps. More importantly, every call or text that comes to Richter will first hit us. We'll have the option to intercept, pass along, or kill it. You'll see the incoming texts and calls on that phone. I'll see them on my laptop. If it's okay with you, I'll just set up my base of operations here.
Most definitely,
Isaiah said.
And I want you to study his contact list. We gotta let a few calls through so he doesn't suspect anything, but nothing from a Vegas area code. No texts we don't understand, nothing that looks like code.
Is Richter's contact from the casino going to call or text? Letty asked. Or do we even know?
No idea.
Mark said,
I'll scan through his text history and see if I can pin down any promising leads.
Isaiah grabbed one of the walkie-talkies off the dresser and slipped in an earpiece.
We stay in constant communication until that magic text or call comes.
You got it,
Mark said.
If a call comes in, we talk it through. Any uncertainty, it doesn't go to Richter.
Agreed. And what if a Vegas phone number shows up? Or worse, a private number?
Then we roll the dice and I answer. I got Richter's voice down cold, just in case.
Isaiah pocketed the white iPhone and grinned at Letty.
You done good, girl.
Glad it worked out.
You heading back to the palazzo?
That's the plan.
I'll walk you out.
In the hallway, Isaiah stopped her.
My suggestion, go back to your room, get some sleep. This ship may go down in the wee hours.
Rest of your crew's in town?
Everybody's on standby. Soon as we know the room number, we're ready to get it on. What's wrong?
Nothing.
You want out now, that's cool. I'll peel off 250 for your work and you can go on your merry way. No more risk.
Tempting, but the truth was, she didn't want the job to end.
I told you I'd see it through, Ice.
That's my girl.
What about Mark? Is he...
Work for hire. He's also our driver. He knows enough to do his job, but no more. You, me, Jared, and Stu. That's the only way this money splits.
She started walking toward the elevators. He called out after her,
Get on your game face, girl.
Letty moved through the lobby of the palazzo, under a glass dome and past a two-story fountain. The high from stealing Richter's phone was fading, fear rushing in to take its place. She hadn't really thought beyond the initial grab, hadn't begun to come to terms with the concept of Isaiah and his buddies taking down a heavily armed casino security team, much less her place in that equation. Up ahead, a man sat on a bench, his face buried in his hands. It was the hair she recognized, perfectly trimmed brown on the cusp of turning silver, a part she'd recognize anywhere. She stopped and said, "Christian?" Her therapist looked up, colognedwith booze, eyes red and swollen with tears. He wore a wrinkled sports jacket and khaki slacks that looked like they'd been slept in.
"Letty?"
he said. "What are you doing here?" she asked. He wiped his eyes, said,
"Not having one of my better days on this planet."
"Let me help you up to your room."
"You ever notice you can't open a window in a hotel room? Why is that? How did they know I wanted to jump?"
"Are you serious with that? You don't want to jump, Christian. Come on." She grabbed his arm. "Let's get you upstairs. They're gonna throw you out if you stay down here in this condition." She pulled him onto his feet. They stumbled toward the elevators.
"You don't have to do this," Christian said. "Nobody is nice like this anymore."
They rode up to the 31st floor, just the two of them in the car. He laughed bitterly.
"My first thought was black," he said. "All the way driving out here, it was always going to be black."
"What are you talking about?"
"But I changed my mind at the last minute, went with red, and then, of course, it hit on black." I lost a lot of money this morning."
"On roulette?"
"Red or black, red or black, red or black."
"How much did you lose?"
"Everything."
"You bet your life savings?"
"Before I came here, I sold my house, cashed out my portfolio, emptied my bank accounts, $285,000.
"Why?" They reached his floor. The doors parted. In the hallway, he said,
"Because I'd already lost everything else."
She grabbed his arm. "Christian, look at me. What are you talking about? What's wrong?"
"My wife, my daughter."
"They left you?"
"They were killed."
"When?"
3 months ago."
3 months ago? You mean while I was seeing you, you were dealing with this shit? You never even—
"Not your problem, Letty. Not on my couch. Not here."
"Was it a car wreck?"
"Yeah."
They went on.
"I don't even care about the money," he said, then veered into a wall. He leaned against it. "It was a sign I was looking for."
"What kind of sign?"
"You ever feel like it's all stacked against you, Letty? Like you never had a chance against the house? I just thought that maybe if I bet on black and it hit on black, it would mean that things would change, that a corner had been turned, that I didn't have to do what I now have to do."
He grabbed her hands and turned them over, exposed her wrists, traced a finger down her scars. Suicide hickeys.
"Must have taken great courage."
"No, not courage. Cowardice. What are you saying?"
"What was your low point, Letty? I can't remember if we ever spoke of it in our sessions."
"Let's get you to your room." Christian sank down onto the floor.
"Tell me, please."
"When the court took my son from me, terminated my parental rights. Night of the ruling," she held up her wrists. "3 bottles of Merlot and a straight razor."
"My life is over,"
he said. "But it's still yours."
"I don't want it."
She eased down beside him. "It's like you're in this tunnel," she said. "It's dark, there's no light at the end, and you think it goes on forever." Christian looked up at her, tears returning. "But if you keep putting one foot in front of the other—"
"Even when it's total agony?"
"Especially then. Then one day, you see a speck of light in the distance, and it slowly gets larger, and for the first time you feel the sensation of moving towards something, away from all the hurt and the pain and the crushing weight of the past."
"What's it like when you finally emerge?"
"Tell you when I get there."
"You're still in the tunnel?"
"Yeah."
"What keeps you going?"
She could feel herself becoming emotional, tried to fight it down, but her throat ached with grief.
"I know that when I finally come out into the light, that my son will be waiting for me. I want to live to see that version of me."
Christian said,
"I have $200 in cash in my wallet.
My room is paid for through tonight. I don't know what happens after that. I don't know where to go. My practice is finished. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I'm not sure what I'm living for. Why would I continue to breathe in and out? For you.
For me?
For the you that one day walks out of that tunnel.
Letty stood.
Come on, let's get you into bed.
I can't go back to that room and sit there alone in the dark.
Go to meetings. Help others.
Tell you what, Letty said. I missed breakfast. Let me take you to lunch. My treat.
You don't have to do this.
Actually, I do.
13. Letty changed out of her swimwear and met Christian downstairs. They walked north toward the tower at the end of the strip. It must have been 110 degrees. Waves of heat glowering off the sidewalk. The tourists waddling around, sweating like disgraced prize fighters. They took the elevator to the top. Letty slid the hostess $50 to put them at a window table, insisted that Christian take the best seat. Waiting for their waitress to show, he looked like he might nod off right there at the table. "When's the last time you slept?" Letty asked.
"I don't know. I think I've forgotten how."
"Let me get you some help," she said. "Someone to talk to."
"A psychobabble doesn't work on me. I know all the tricks."
He stared out the window by their table, but she could tell that he didn't see a thing. The restaurant turned imperceptibly. At the moment, their view was west, miles of glittering sprawl and development. Beyond the city, the desert climbed into a range of spruce-covered mountains. Letty checked her phone. No missed calls or texts.
"I'm not keeping you, am I?"
Christian asked.
"Not at all."
The waitress came. Letty ordered Christian a coffee. He reached into his wallet, pulled out two small photos, laid them on the table.
"This is Melanie, my wife. My daughter, Charlie."
Letty lifted the photo of a 13 or 14-year-old girl, kneeling in a blue and white uniform in front of a goal, holding a soccer ball.
"She's beautiful. And Charlie is short for
Charlene."
"That's lovely."
Letty reached into her purse, took out a photo of her son, his kindergarten photo.
"Jacob?"
Christian asked.
"Yeah, I don't think I ever showed you his picture."
Christian leaned over the table to get a better look.
"Good-looking kid."
Christian collected his photographs and returned them to his wallet with the care and focus of a ritual. Letty said, "Don't you have family or friends back in Charleston who can help you?"
"They certainly think so."
"But you don't."
"When my girls died, all I got was a bunch of platitudes. Cards that said things like, 'She is just away.' People lining up to tell me they knew what I was going through. I'm never going back."
"Then what will you do?"
"Kill myself. That was the deal I made. I shouldn't be telling you this. I'm a terrible therapist."
"What deal?"
"If I doubled my money, I'd see it as a good omen. I'd try to push on. If I lost, that was it. I was done."
"And there's nothing at this point that might change your mind?"
"Let's be clear. You don't really know me. Don't really know anything about me. You don't love me. You're trying to help me, and in the sense that I'm not alone in this moment, you are. And it means more to me than I could ever tell you. But don't try to convince me that my life has value, how there's an end to this pain. There isn't, and I know it."
"You told me my life had value."
"You shouldn't see me like this," he said. "I don't want it to undo all the progress we made just because I'm weak."
"You're in this bad spot now. You will feel different one day."
"My girls were my life, and it was over the moment that truck veered into their lane. I'm just trying to pin down my exit strategy."
"How did I miss this?" she asked. "Every week for months I came to see you, and you were hurting, badly hurting, and I completely missed it. Am I that self-obsessed?"
"No."
He smiled.
"Let's just say I was that dedicated."
"But you didn't leave town until I did."
"You were my last patient."
"So I was the only thing keeping you from this insanity?"
"No, my loyalty to you as a patient was. This isn't your fault, Letty. You know that, right?"
The food came, but Letty's appetite was shot. They ate in silence, and when she'd finished her sandwich, she threw her napkin down and fixed her stare on Christian. He said,
"Trying to figure out how to change my mind?"
She shook her head. It's your call. Your choice. I respect that.
Thank you.
Letty felt her phone vibrate. A text from Isaiah. The win in 30. We go tonight. Christian must have caught the sudden intensity in her eyes. He said,
What's wrong?
Nothing. Christian smiled.
So what are you doing in Vegas, Letty? I thought you were headed west to see your son.
The waitress brought the check. Letty waited until she walked away. A slight detour. I love Vegas.
Just here for the shows and the slots, huh?
She rolled her eyes.
Let me guess, you're a huge Neil Diamond fan.
Letty said, How did you know?
Wouldn't happen to be running with your old associates. Back to your old tricks? This is a dangerous city for someone with your triggers.
She pulled out enough cash to cover the bill and a 25% tip. Said, Speaking of, I almost used last night. I did have a drink, but I was on my way to score.
What happened?
Long story short, I went to a meeting instead.
Good for you. That's great, Letty.
She reached across the table and took hold of his hand. Christian, I have to go.
Thanks for lunch. Thanks for stopping in the lobby when you saw me. You could have walked right on past. I'd never have known.
This isn't goodbye. You're having dinner with me tonight, she said.
That means I have to be alive tonight.
She smiled. Yes, it does. 14. There were now four people waiting inside Letty's room at the Wynn: Isaiah, Mark, and two men she'd never seen before. Isaiah sprang off the bed, said,
There she is.
As the door closed behind Letty, she noted that the temperature in the room had changed. There was now a palpable pre-game energy, the air juiced with nerves, fear, anticipation. Eyes walked over and took her by the arm, said,
Meet Jared.
She smiled at the tall, rugged man leaning against the dresser. He sported a patchy beard and long, walnut-colored hair bundled up into a ponytail. Isaiah motioned to the other man.
And this is Stu. The three of us helped spread freedom to the Middle East.
I'm Letty. Nice to meet you. Stu didn't rise from the bed, just gave her a slight nod. His hair was curly and black, and he didn't boast the intimidating build of either Isaiah or Jared, but his eyes were as hard as any she'd ever met. Letty looked at Isaiah. You intercepted the call? He smiled.
It came in two texts, first the time, then the room number.
And it corresponds to a room in this hotel?
10th floor, east side of the building. In terms of location, it's pretty close to perfect.
How so?
If they took the money any higher, we couldn't rappel out from the room below. We'd have to get a second room closer to ground level. That would mean riding elevators, exposing ourselves to cameras. It would represent a substantial escalation of risk.
Repel?
What'd you think, Letty? We were going to tote this shit out in duffel bags through the lobby?
What's the time frame?
They're moving the money at 0200. To your civilian ass, that's...
He glanced at his watch.
A little more than 11 hours from now.
Isaiah looked at Mark.
Our rental van is ready for pickup. Go get it and scope the parking deck one last time.
Letty said, What about Richter? Mark grinned.
One of the cooler things I managed was to program an incoming call control feature into Richter's phone.
English.
Using the clone, we can call him from any number.
So tonight, Isaiah said, just before we suit up, we'll send Richter a text from his secret Santa, hit him with a fake room number and a fake ETA on Sunday night.
Letty said, So by the time he realizes the grift,
we'll all be long gone.
She had to smile. So what happens now?
While Stu and Jared bring over the toys, I got a little job for you.
Okay.
Your outfit's in the bathroom.
Letty walked down the hallway on the 9th floor. At the door, she straightened her hunter green blazer and smoothed her skirt. Knocked. A groggy-eyed man answered, sleep lines down the right side of his face. She said, Mr. Sachs?
Yes?
I'm Amanda, RDM here at the Wynn.
RDM?
Rooms division manager. We've had a maintenance issue crop up. It's impacting the air quality for a segment of rooms on floors 8 through 11. Unfortunately, yours is one of them. We're going to need to move you to another room.
but we're already unpacked and-
I understand. She smiled. Of course, we'll be upgrading you to a salon suite, which is nearly 2,000 square feet, 3 times the size of your current room. We'll also be giving you $200 in chips as a token of our appreciation for your understanding. We're terribly sorry for the inconvenience. Letty hit a brisk stride on her way back to the palazzo. It was almost 5 o'clock, and she had 6 hours to kill before Isa's crew was set to rendezvous in the room directly below 1068. Waiting at the crosswalk on Sands, she dialed Christian's mobile.
Hi, Letty.
Something's come up. Can we do an early dinner?
Sure, when?
I'm free right now, she said. I just need to change. Let's meet in the lobby in 30 minutes. And wear a coat. I'm taking you someplace special.
A proper last meal sounds nice.
She asked the concierge to point her toward the best restaurant in town. At first, he demurred. A 20 spot pulled a definitive answer out of him. A French place down the strip at the MGM Grand. But he feigned doubt that reservations could be procured on such short notice. $40 secured said reservations. Christian met her at the same bench where she'd found him coming to pieces earlier in the day. He'd cleaned up. He looked good and smelled good, and she told him so, then took his arm as they walked together out into the scorching Vegas evening. The sun was falling, reflecting off all the chrome and glass. So hot it seemed like combustion would have been a certainty if there was anything green in sight. The restaurant sent a limo. Riding down the boulevard, Letty was struck with the feeling that it wasn't just Christian's last meal, but maybe hers as well. Something about the golden quality of the late light, a sadness, a finality to it. She stared out the tinted window and thought about her son. They went all in on a 16-course tasting menu. It was like eating in a library, hushed and reverent, but the food was out of this world. Letty wouldn't drink, but insisted Christian have the wine flight. She had been worried going in that the conversation would be heavy, but they found common ground. Politics, children, movies. Letty sat on a velvet couch, propped up with pillows, rich royal purple drapes everywhere she looked, ivy walls, candlelight. She had the best lamb she'd ever tasted. Must have been fed gold flakes and the milk of the gods. The bread cart was legendary, like baked clouds. Everything plated as beautifully as jewelry, the artistic detail more precise than coinage. Over espressos, Christian said,
I hope that whatever has really brought you to Vegas won't keep you from seeing your son again.
It's a risk. But I just have this fear that if I were to walk away and drive up to Oregon to be with my son, that within a few months I'd be broke, living out of a motel, strung out, maybe dead.
Sounds like your business here could produce the same end result.
Yeah, but at least I wouldn't be doing it to myself. Truth is, I think about dying all the time. I think about my son finding out. And of all the possible scenarios, Jacob hearing that Mommy was found OD'd and decomposing in a motel is the worst.
So you are back in the game.
Are you judging me?
No.
Look, it fills this hole in my soul that I used to throw drugs at.
Your son doesn't fill it?
Only partway.
So you're saying it's either crime or drugs for you. Can't live without one or the other.
If I take drugs, I will definitely die. If I, he finished her sentence,
steal,
then I'll only maybe die. I'm fighting for my life here, Christian.
And this thing, it's tonight?
Yeah.
Are you afraid?
He asked. Of course.
And do you find fear to be a help or a hindrance?
It helps, for sure.
How so?
It keeps me uncomfortable and sharp, heightens my senses.
And you have no doubts about going through with it?
Jobs like this, they're the only time I don't think about using. You helped me to see that. You haven't asked for any details, Letty said. Thank you.
And you haven't asked me if I'm going through with my plans tonight. Back at you.
Are you?
What exactly are you doing?
They laughed.
Sounds like a big night for both of us,
he said.
The suicide and the thief.
What would it take, she asked. For you to keep on keeping on.
It's funny. That's all I've been asking myself lately.
And?
I don't know. Some new experience, maybe. Something that made me feel like a different person. Like I was living a different life.
I hope you find it. They rode back in the limo. It was 10 o'clock. She could feel the job looming, but she pushed it out of her mind just a little while longer. She looked up at Christian as they passed Paris, Las Vegas, all of the lights and the neon playing across his face like an ecstasy dream. Then they were parked out front at the Palazzo, and the driver was coming around to get their doors. They embraced in the lobby. Christian said,
"Take care of yourself, Letty."
And she said, "You too. Thanks for everything." Neither asked the other to reconsider. Neither said goodbye like how the moment called for it. Like goodbye forever. The elevator ride up to her room was the only window in which she allowed herself to cry. 15. Room 968 at the Wynn looked like a construction site. Between the end of the bed and the minibar, a folding ladder stood in a pile of sawdust and plaster dust. A man high up the rungs was waist-deep in the ceiling, a large segment of which lay in pieces on the floor. Letty locked the door after her and made her way inside, detected a muffled hum, the work of a quiet motor. Dust rained down out of the hole in the ceiling. She spotted a large black duffel bag in the corner, bulging, unzipped it. Zip ties, Kevlar vests, face masks, ball gags, shotguns. "What's this, Eyes?" she said, lifting a semi-auto tactical shotgun.
"So good," he said.
"How exactly is this all good? Aside from the fact that you said no guns, you fire off one shell and you'll wake the entire strip."
"We won't be firing any shells."
"How's that?"
"Keep digging."
She thrust her hand deeper into the duffel until her fingers grasped a cartridge the size of a 12-gauge shotgun shell. She lifted out a clear capsule packed with copper wiring and a 4-pronged electrode. Taser X-Rep had been engraved into the plastic. "What is this?" she asked.
"Nasty is what it is. It's a taser on steroids. Fires out of a shotgun and delivers debilitating pain for up to 20 seconds. I let Jared pop me with one. Standard taser ain't no thing, but I'd hate to meet a man that shell can't drop."
"It's not lethal?"
"Nah, only makes you wish you were dead."
Over by the window, Jared was cranking down on a clamp that held a large suction cup to the glass. Isaiah knelt over an REI store's worth of climbing equipment, just the sight of which tightened Letty's stomach. He was in the process of outfitting each harness with a locking carabiner and an ATC belay device. She stepped over a neat coil of climbing rope, ventured a glance out the window. The view was east over the lighted pools and a maze of lower rooftops dotted with AC units. Beyond it all, a golf course shone green in the night.
"It's just 70 feet down to the rooftop below,"
Isaiah said. "That's supposed to make me feel better." He dropped the harness he'd been working with and rose to his feet, tapped the glass.
"Once we get down there, we gotta make it across the convention center roof. Mark will be waiting for us with the van at the top of the parking deck."
Letty stared at a tower of empty duffel bags in the corner. "Lots of bags.
Lots of cash.
We going to be able to carry it all out?"
"It's a concern, our abundance of riches."
Jared said,
"Should I start scoring this glass?" "Yeah, get that shit done."
Isaiah lifted one of the duffels.
"Assuming the denominations are high, best case scenario, we fit about 4 mil into each bag."
Letty watched as Jared applied cutting fluid to a wide circle. Using a Bola toolkit, he carefully scored a circle with a 4-foot diameter into the glass. "How many pounds we talking?" Letty asked.
22 pounds per $1 million.
"That's 88 pounds per bag. I can't carry that."
"Nobody expecting you to. That's all on me and my badass friends. If the haul comes in at 38 or 40, that's 10 bags. 3 trips across the convention center rooftop."
"That's a hell of a lot of time humping back and forth out in the open."
"Well aware."
"Lot of time for things to fall apart."
"I ever say this would be easy peasy?"
Jared removed the glass cutter, said,
"I think I'll go ahead and just take out the circle. Might as well."
From a foam-lined aluminum case, Jared lifted a new tool. What's that? Letty asked.
Called a cut opener.
Cool. He smiled, eating up the attention. She didn't give a shit, but making nice with Isaiah's cohorts didn't strike her as the worst idea she'd ever had. He turned a knob.
I'm just setting the tapping force. Watch this.
Holding the device to the surface of the window, he placed the head of the glass tapper to the score line, then squeezed the lever. The cut opened in inch-long segments, slowly forming a perfect circle. Up in the crawl space, the hum of the motor had stopped. Stu climbed down out of the ceiling with a circular saw, his face frosted with dust. Isaiah said,
"We happy?"
Stu grinned, wiped a sheen of sweat off his forehead with the sleeve of his shirt.
I was able to get an angle on the subfloor. Cut out a 4x4 section. Little glitch, there's a slab of marble over the top of it. It's gonna take 2 or 3 of us to move it. I was only able to lift it 1/4 inch, and just for a second.
Well, let's do this. See what we got to work with.
Letty tugged on a pair of latex gloves and went up first. Richter's contact had said 2 a.m., but what the hell did that mean? Surely someone would sweep the room before the money showed. She climbed over a tube of ductwork and emerged into a bathroom, swung the beam of her flashlight across the walls. Swanky. Giant jacuzzi tub, triple vanity, a TV embedded in the mirror, double-headed shower with more floor space than some apartments she'd rented in her darker days. She spoke into her headset. This is not a mirror of our room. It's a large suite. How we doing on time? Isaiah hit her back.
No idea, but stay cool. We need some recon.
Letty struggled onto her feet, her heart banging away. She moved across the bathroom and through an archway. Everything dark, perfectly quiet. Bathroom opens into the master suite.
Take it slow and low. That is the tempo,
Isaiah said.
There could already be cameras or motion sensors in place.
That gave her pause. Really?
Really.
At the open doorway of the master suite, she killed the light. Stared hard into the darkness. Would it be the end of the world if I turned on a proper light? She asked.
Nah, go for it.
She found a panel of dimmer switches next to the entertainment center and brought up the lights. Her eyes burned for several seconds. The living room boasted a wet bar, a desk, an in-room dining area, a high-def plasma screen, and a sitting area adjacent to a floor-to-ceiling window. The curtains had been swept back. The desert floor glittered below like crystals in a cave. Isaiah said,
Are the curtains drawn?
No, they're open.
Close them.
She pulled the curtains, then moved on toward the front door. Said, There's a powder room and a room with a massage table by the entrance. Otherwise, we're early to the party.
All right, we're coming up.
Letty sat on one of the white leather sofas, staring at the time on her iPhone. 12:23 a.m. 1 hour and 37 minutes. Isaiah, Jared, and Stu had been circling the suite for the last 15, studying the floor plan. Jared said,
We have to already be here when they roll in.
Stu was shaking his head. They moved out of the bedroom and eased down onto the couches.
We don't attack until we know what's coming through that door.
Isaiah said,
Intel says 6 men.
Jared said,
What if it's 12?
Then we go home, Stu said.
Here's what's going to happen,
Isaiah said.
They'll send 2 men in to sweep the room before they cart in the cash. Confirm all's cool. We can't be in here when that happens. How many cams we got, Jay?
3, I think. They're with Mark. Where is he, by the way? He was supposed to be here 20 minutes ago.
We'll put a cam in here, 1 in the bedroom, 1 in the bathroom. We let them come in. Let them get comfy. Then we come up through the floor like the fucking wild bunch. We're going to be charging in with taser cartridges. They'll be carrying something with a tad more bite. Full auto subs, if I had to guess. We got no margin for error on this takedown. It has to be fast and quiet. 1 minute, they sitting around chilling. The next, they twitching on the floor. We're gonna have to ball gag and zip tie a minimum of 6 men inside of 20 seconds.
Isaiah called Mark again, but he wasn't answering.
Something's wrong,
he said.
Yeah, Stu said. He probably decided to bail and get stoned. Where'd you find this kid anyway?
He came recommended, highly.
Well, he was our uplink to the room, to the hallway. Without him, we got no eyes. Without him, I think we're done. Isaiah bristled.
Done?
How are we supposed to pull this off coming in blind?
You're looking at a $10 million payday and you talking about walking away that easy?
I didn't come out to Vegas to die. Isaiah looked at Letty. What? She said. He stood and walked over to the wet bar, opened one of the cabinets. She said, hell no. He smiled.
Not saying it ain't gonna be tight, but I'm thinking we can fit you in there. You gonna be our eyes?
Hell no.
Really? That's cool. I'll cram Stu in there and you can bust in here with the big boys, facing down submachine guns with a taser. I mean, if you feel that'd be your best contribution to the team.
16. It was dark, cramped, and muggy in the cabinet. Letty crouched with her knees drawn tightly to her chest. Her iPhone was set to silent, and she clutched it in her right hand. 1:34 a.m. With the slab of marble flooring in the bathroom back in place, she couldn't hear the boys in the room below. Nothing, in fact, but the throbbing of her heart like some anxious drum. What am I doing? What am I doing? A week ago, a waitress. Now this? Robbing a casino? But it was beyond exhilarating, and she hadn't even thought of using in hours. Her phone lit up. Isaiah texting. Call if you can. She dialed. Tell me you found Mark.
He's AWOL.
Seriously?
Still ain't answering.
Shit.
He was our ride out of Dodge. Had the radio, the scanners down cold.
So what now?
What now? Nothing now. We stand the fuck down.
She felt a flare of relief, a pang of regret.
I hate this, he said, but we gotta be ready to roll. Can't just camp out on the roof of the convention center with 9 duffel bags full of cash, hoping to somehow figure this shit out before the sun rises and the SWAT rolls in.
Letty closed her eyes, surprised as the needle swung firmly into regret. It's the score of a lifetime, she said.
You think I need to hear that shit?
I have an idea, she said.
What?
We need a driver, right? That's all?
Yeah.
Call you back. In the darkness of the cabinet, she searched her call history. Please don't have done anything stupid. Please, please, please. Christian answered.
Hello?
Hey, it's Letty. I wake you?
No.
You okay?
I haven't done anything yet, if that's what you're calling about.
I have something to ask you.
Thought you were going to try and save me.
I'm not.